House of the Lord, say amen. 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 We've been going over, we wrestle not. We've been talking about the doors that have been opened or that could be opened through spiritual warfare, through sin. We talked about generational iniquity. How many remember the door we talked about last week? Door number two, right there. Which one was it? Abuse. Good job. And we have many different kinds of abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse. Well, tonight we're going to go into another touchy subject that's hard to teach on and hard to talk about, but it's a door that is open all across our churches, all across America, all across, you know, the world, really, and it's the door of sexual sins. So, folks, sexual sins are very prominent. Even if you just do your research, I'm sure you'd say they're very prominent right here in Red Level. They're definitely prominent right here in the state of Alabama, and they're most certainly prominent all across America. The devil has done his best to pervert America. Would everybody agree with that? And I'm talking about in many, many different ways, from the church to the schoolhouse to the world's view of how we ought to look, how we ought to act, how we ought to dress, the way we ought to carry ourselves. Folks, God has a very strict standard for our way of Christian living. Amen. We've been talking about it in Sunday school, biblical separation. Folks, we ought not want to act, talk, look, dress anything like this world. Amen. We ought to be separate from the world. And tonight, we're going to go over a few things that are going to be kind of touchy, I'm sure, to some people. But understand, listen, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking for you. I'm talking for me. I'm talking on the Lord's behalf. There are just some things that, you know, we as Christians ought not do. Amen. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about ladies. And again, if this is one of the doors that you have opened, understand that you're not alone, number one. The Lord is with you if you're saved. If you're not, you know, we got another conversation to talk about. But number two, not only are you not alone, listen, there's freedom from these things. A lot of men and women live in bondage to sexual sins. And I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm talking about adultery. I'm talking about fornication. I'm talking about all kinds of things that if you want to see some pretty gnarly stuff, read the book of Deuteronomy and the things that God had to forbid the Israelites from doing. And you think, how on earth could people be doing these things? Well, listen, folks, God would never have said, don't do this, if people weren't doing these things. So as we're going through this tonight, don't get angry with me, because I'm sure I'm going to say some things that are going to pull a few strings. But again, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking for you on the Lord's behalf. So let's pray, and we'll get right into this message tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word and for your truth, Lord. Thank you for the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm so thankful, God, that, Lord, there's a much higher power out there. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that, Lord, as powerful as Satan may be, Lord, I'm thankful that through you and through your spirit, we have power to tread on scorpions. And I'm thankful, God, that we have the power over the devil tonight through your blood. Lord, thank you so much for shedding your blood for our sins. I ask you now, Lord, to cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Allow me to teach this tonight. And Lord, may your people hear from you. Lord, may they not be offended, but Lord, may they just understand, God, that we are commanded to be different. And Lord, no doubt what you're doing in this little church right here in Red Level, Alabama is a miraculous thing. And Lord, the last thing we need is the devil creeping in the aspect of sexual sins in our church and in our homes. God, not, Lord, we know as the home goes, so goes the church. Lord, it might not be happening in the church, but if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl in bondage to these sins tonight, Lord, it is affecting their family. It's affecting their husbands, their wives, their children. And Lord, ultimately, it will affect their church, and it's affecting their relationship with their God. And may we see the importance tonight of being free from the bondage of sexual sins. God, I thank you tonight. Lord, though a touchy subject, such a real subject, especially in our teenage generation, Lord, the devil is after our young men and ladies. Lord, we know that teenage pregnancy is at an all-time high. And Lord, we know that's against you. And Lord, we know that you planned, Lord, for this to wait until marriage. Now, God, I pray tonight that we'll grasp a hold of the importance of this thing. And Lord, we'll want to do better. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, door number one was generational what, church? Iniquity. Door number two was what? Abuse. Door number three is sexual sin. Sexual sins are committed in various ways. We should be aware of demonic activity in a person when they are involved in any type of sexual sin. The Bible speaks clearly regarding this matter. Furthermore, it reveals to us the seriousness of this kind of sin. The first of the sexual sins that open up the door to demonic activity in our lives is the sin of fornication. You might say, what is fornication? Well, when speaking of the sin of fornication, it's referring to any type of sexual activity before a marriage covenant between a man and a woman. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 tonight, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, again, if you've been involved in this or are actively involved in this, listen, God forbids it, okay? But listen to me, God hates sin, but He absolutely 100% loves the sinner. Just because you are involved in this does not mean God has cut you off, does not mean God has forgotten about you, but it does mean that it is still wrong. If the Bible says it's wrong, folks, listen, it don't matter what your flesh likes. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. We must understand that. There's a lot of things that my flesh likes, but that God of heaven hates it. God hates sin, and He's very much against fornication. I'll explain it again. What is fornication? It's any type of sexual activity before a marriage covenant between a man and a woman. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20, it says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one," what, church? Flee. What's the next word? Fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where, church? In you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We learned a few weeks ago that our spirit, soul, and body should be preserved blameless, correct, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is the body part of those three things that God said to be preserved blameless? So if I am committing fornication, if I am actively involved in premarital sexual activity of any kind, can my body be preserved blameless? So right there, I'm breaking God's law for me. God said that my body should be preserved blameless. And the Bible says that fornication is a sin against your own, what, church? Body. So if God said not to do it, does it make sense for me to go out and do that willfully? Does it make it right just because it makes me feel good for a little while? No, it does not. God said don't do it. Folks, we ought to be okay with that. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2 makes it plain by saying, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1 and 2, I'll tell you what, as a teenager, when I heard this verse, I could not stand it when I heard a preacher say, "Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Because I'll be honest with you, you remember your first date with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. And, you know, I was allowed to date. And I'll be honest with you, my children are not. I know what I was doing. I was out dating alone with a girl. Shouldn't be doing things that I was doing. And let me tell you this. Had I not been allowed to do it, a lot of things wouldn't have happened. A lot of baggage would not have been carried into my marriage. I may have been able to stand at the marriage altar and look my wife in the eyes and say, "These are the first hands that I've ever held, Brother Walter." I'll tell you what, I wish that that would have been the case. I may have been able to look my wife in her eyes and say, "Crystal, when I kiss you right now, this will be the first kiss I've ever had." But guess what, Brother Tim? I wasn't able to do that. I'll take it a little further. I may have been able to say, "You're the first lady that I was with, Brother Scott." But at age 13, I was alone in a place that I should not have been. At age 13, Miss Rosalind, and I lost my purity at age 13. Now, am I standing up here proud of that? No. I'm just telling you, the devil was after my purity, and he got it. And folks, look, what I did that day is I gave a piece of my heart away that I could never give to the one that God designed for my heart to have, or to have my heart. I gave a piece of it away. And when I stood at the marriage altar, it wasn't like I could give her my whole heart because I had already given a lot of it away. Do you understand what I'm saying? God said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And then he went on to say, why? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. So you're telling me, preacher, if I'm in the car with my girlfriend and I'm holding her hand, I'm sinning? Absolutely. Because God said it's good for a man not to do what? Touch a woman. Can I tell you this? You guys can use your imagination here. You don't start at home plate, do you? No, you got to go to first base first, right? First base is always just holding a hand. And pretty soon you're looking into her beautiful eyes and you're like, man, you sure are pretty. And pretty soon you're kissing her and you're hugging her. Then all of a sudden it gets worse and worse and worse. And now you're standing at home plate living in regret and guilt, wondering, God, how in the world did this get to this spot? Well, I'll tell you what, it started with touching her. The Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. You know what God's trying to say, folks? If you don't touch her, you won't have to worry about doing that. Everybody all right? This is tough stuff. People ask me all the time, your boy's 15 years old. Why in the world wouldn't you let him have a girlfriend? Because I care about his purity. Because one day, I want my daughter-in-law to come up to me and his mother and say, hey, I'm so thankful that you protected Colton's purity. He may make mistakes, and probably will. Kyler will make mistakes. Kelly will make mistakes. But I'll tell you what, it won't be because he was allowed to in the home. I'll never send my son out eight alone. You know what? You want a date? Hey, bring her to the house. She can sit around and have dinner with your family. I'll drop you off at her house. You can have dinner with her dad and her mother. Y'all all right? You want to go watch a movie? Okay, mom and dad like the movies. We'll go with you. She can sit over here and you can sit over here. Hey, folks, listen. Because here's the deal. When they're dating at 15 years old, how many times do those kids get married? Not very often. The piece of the heart goes to her, and then pretty soon she's ugly now, and he's ugly now, and he stinks, and he don't like me no more. I found somebody else, and now you're giving your heart to this one. Guys, do you see the importance here? But the devil says, hey, scoot a little closer. Scoot a little closer. He'll say, she sure is pretty, ain't she? And then you'll touch her hand, and the hair on your arm will stand up. Folks, you know that stuff's all natural for a husband and a wife. God designed that. That's why it's good. Amen? But he did not design that for our teenagers to be going out and experimenting on each other. He did not design that for 70% of our young ladies to lose their purity by age 15. He certainly didn't design it for your pastor to have lost his purity at age 13. That wasn't God's design. God's design was it's good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. If you were promiscuous before marriage or were active in some sensual way with another person while you were a teenager, you have opened up a door to sensual appetites, which cannot be righteously fulfilled until marriage. That door must be closed, or it can open up moral failure in your marriage in the future. Now think about it. Think about it like this. Every guy in here knows what's the number one rule in your marriage. Don't look at another woman. Don't talk about another woman, right? Why? Because it makes your wife what? Jealous. And same with the wives. You don't want to go around talking about how another man, because it's going to make him what? Jealous. So let me tell you this. If you go into marriage with no comparison whatsoever with another woman or another man, all you've ever known is her touch and his touch. You don't remember, you don't have any past about what that kiss was like, how her hands felt. Guys, listen, we're all adults and teenagers here. This is very real. There's no comparison, and there's no leaving your wife wondering, well, I wonder if I'm as good as she was. You guys okay? Marriages are ripped apart every day because of jealousy. There's no comparison. Well, I wonder if she thinks about me like she thought about him. Folks, this is very real stuff. God said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. God comes down harder on sexual sins than any other kind of sin. The Bible deals extensively with sexual sins. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, in verse 20, 22, and 23, it says, "Cursed." Now look, again, these are some crazy sins that I hope none of you have ever been involved with, but why would God say things like this? It's because the nation of Israel was so perverted. You remember the evil in their minds? It was evil continually. You remember we talked about it on Sunday? It was just vile. In Deuteronomy, he said, "Cursed is he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed by he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father." You know, remember the story Amnon and Tamar? We talked about that. "And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law." And all the people shall say, Amen. Sexual sins disturb the emotions of a person's conscience. It leaves heavy weights of guilt, frustration, and images in their minds that the enemy will exploit and magnify to either destroy or cause them to be ineffective for the Lord's work. If Satan cannot keep us from getting saved, then he will definitely use sexual sins to eliminate or disqualify us from the call of God in our lives. And let's just break this down easier. You know, how many remember the first time you ever held a girl's hand? Or a guy's hand. Raise your hand. First time, whether it's your husband, wife, whoever. You remember it. Now, after that happened, how many desired the whole time when you left her sight, you're like, "I just can't wait to get back in front of her again." Let's just be honest. Because you wanted to do what? You couldn't wait to feel the softness of her hands. You couldn't wait to, here's how guys work, smell her lotion on your hands. You guys, listen, hey, I'm not the only one that did this. You could smell her lotion on your hands. I remember when Crystal and I started dating, she laid on my pillow and I could smell her shampoo. When she left my house, I laid on that pillow and I could smell her shampoo from her hair. And man, that was the best sleep I ever got in my life. I was like, man, I can't wait till I can smell this shampoo every single day. And look, what I'm saying is these are all things that the devil uses. If this is used the wrong way, the devil uses these things in a very negative way and causes you to want more and more and more, and it's never enough. And by the way, whatever happened to that desire when we got married? Hello? You know, you remember just how much you desired her when she wasn't your wife, or just how much you desired her when she wasn't your husband. But now that we're married, it's like, you ever notice how the devil's just under constant attack of our homes? And all of a sudden, instead of using that in God's design, we use it against each other. Folks, listen. God had a beautiful plan when he planned marriage. And I'm telling you, if you do it right, teenagers, I'm talking to you right now. Don't let the devil lie to you. Girls, your purity means everything. There ain't a guy in this world worth your purity. Guys, there's not a girl in this world worth your purity. You get to that marriage altar, your wife will be thankful. Your husband will be thankful. Their parents will be thankful. Let me tell you, let me go further. Your future children will be thankful that you saved yourself for mom and dad. Many people have been called of God, but they, while living in this world, have had many immoral relationships. Later on, they are tormented by those past memories of fornication that led to feelings of sensual tendencies which come upon them in great strength. This burden has caused many mothers and fathers to get upset. The writer says he wants to share a burden that he has in his heart. The burden has to do with the girl. Now, again, I'm not talking to you ladies right here. I'm warning you, okay? Because this is a very real problem in America, and especially, if you pay attention, you'll see that it is a problem. Just about every church you go to, you're going to see immodest apparel. Okay, and let me tell you something. First of all, again, please don't get angry with me here.
But it's very important, first of all, when you are dressing for church, who are you dressing for? That's the question, correct? You shouldn't be coming to church to show yourself off to all the guys in the church. Let's just be real. Is everybody okay with that? It is not okay to dress like that when you come to church. You shouldn't dress like that out there. And again, I wouldn't want my wife dressing like that or my daughter dressing like that. Listen, have some respect for yourself. Amen? But I'm going to read this as the writer wrote it. We are experiencing a tidal wave of explicit visual sexuality in the way ladies are dressing for church. And again, I'm not talking directly to our ladies. I'm just warning you. Some examples of women's inappropriate dressing, low-cut dresses. Ladies, listen. Again, when you're dressing for church, if your dresses are coming up to right here and you're standing in front of people, does anybody see a problem with that? What's the problem? Well, the problem is every guy in the church can now see stuff that was not designed for them to see, even if they did not want to see it. Everybody okay? I'm not offending nobody, I hope. Is everybody okay? I'm being serious. I'm not here to offend you. I'm just saying, if you're standing in front of everybody and you're walking around and they can see 18 inches of your upper legs above your knees, ladies, it's too short. It's way too short. And by the way, why are you dressing like that? Who are you trying to impress? Because it's not God, because He's not impressed with that. There shouldn't be anybody here that you're trying to impress. It's not okay. High slits, which are eye traps for men. By the way, again, a lot of times men see things that they don't mean to see, and immediately the devil uses that against them. Everybody all right? That's how the devil works. Dresses that are too tight. Blouses that are too tight so that every shape and form of the lady can be seen. Undergarment lines and straps that are seen. Folks, listen, cover up. And I mean, I would tell parents, don't let your daughters come to church like that. I'd say to you husbands, get your wife's dress under control. And again, I'm not talking to our ladies. We don't have that problem here, thank the Lord. But hey, I've been in some churches where I'd be sitting on the front row. I usually sit on the first front or two rows, and if there'd be a lady on stage, I'd be like, wife, I gotta move. She'd say, why? What's going on? I'm like, I'm not gonna do this all day. I'm not gonna sit and stare at this. Because listen, I don't want to do that. Why? You say, well, why would you look? Listen, let me tell you something. It wasn't a purpose look, but the very fact that I had enough unction to look at my wife and say, I'm not gonna sit here and stare at this. I don't want that. I don't want the devil triggering my mind. I don't want the temptation to be there. I don't want to go home and think about that stuff. Folks, I just assume get out of sight of it, wouldn't you? It's okay. And ladies, hey, if your husband ever says something to you, don't get mad at him. Don't turn it around on him and say, well, why were you looking at that? But listen, if he's looking at that and lusting after, he ain't going to tell you about it. Y'all okay? Amen, guys? I mean, I'm just saying. If he's honest enough to say, hey, we need to get out of here. I don't want to be here. Hey, you say, you know what, honey? Thank you for being honest with your eyes and being true and faithful to me. Give him a pat on the back for that. Give him a big old kiss when you get home. Not here. Give him a big old kiss when you get home. And say, I sure am so glad that you care about me more than that. Amen? Look, how about this? These things can be very dangerous even to a morally pure man or a young boy. We do not need help from our sisters in Christ encouraging men to become morally impure in their thoughts. Ladies are not to dress to show their bodies, but to cover their bodies. The Word of God states very plainly that ladies' actions and dress should not cause anyone to question their motives or virtue. In fact, their dress should reaffirm that their pure motives and their godly virtue. A lady's clothing should reveal her faith, not her figure. Amen? Amen. Recently, and this is the writer talking, a godly young man came to me expressing his moral failure. He had literally lost the battle in his mind and did not like where his thoughts were taking him. I asked him if he had television, internet, pornography videos, or magazines that would be destructive to his mind. He told me, no, I do not. The battle raging in me is within my own church. The girls and ladies at our church who dress according to our church standard reveal the character of Christ. I thank God for them. In contrast, there are some who dress to are so provocative that they have many eye traps for the young men of our church. Some of the girls at church will wear things so tight and sensual that I cannot help that my mind is constantly under attack by their appearance. Can I say it again, ladies? Listen, I'm so thankful that we do not have that problem right now. But here's the deal. I'll tell you something. What I'll never do, first of all, this is why we have ladies in our church. This is where ladies become very, very important in our church. If a lady walks in dressed provocative, let me just ask you a simple question. Do you want your husband lusting after her? What's the answer? No. So, first of all, she's not going to take well if a man goes to her and says, "Sister, you're dressed very inappropriate." Her first thought is going to be, "Well, why are you looking at me?" Here's what happens. A lady with a Christ-like attitude should go to her and say, "Hey, sister, what do you think about maybe wearing a little longer dress next time you come to church? We're really glad you're here with us, but we'd really appreciate it if you'd put a little bit more covering on." And here's the deal. One of two things are going to happen. I've seen it. I've seen both situations. I've seen it where they blow up, get mad, and guess what? If they get mad and don't come back, I just assume they don't come back if they're going to come here and be provocative and cause all of our men to fail. Amen? Just being honest. That might sound harsh, but I don't want that in here. That's the devil. That's what that is. Or she might just say, "You know what? I'm really, really sorry that that was an issue. Thank you for letting me know." And next week she might come back more modest than you are. Amen? That's how we have to be. We have to handle it Christ-like. It's okay to say something. Ladies and young girls need to be taught dress apparel by their parents, not just by the preacher. The scriptures are very clear on the fact that we are not to do anything to defraud a brother or sister in Christ. To defraud someone in a sensual way is to cause a person to think on something they could not righteously fulfill in the presence of a holy God. Sexual sins are very devastating, and we must protect our sons, daughters, brothers, and sisters in Christ from a sensual society. This door must be closed. So now that we've talked about fornication, let's move on to the sin of adultery. And Lord willing, we do not have any of this in our church, I pray. There's a great spiritual damage done when a man or woman enters into a physical relationship with another person outside of their marriage covenant. Proverbs is full of warnings concerning spiritual and physical consequences and curses that are attached to people who give themselves to committing sexual sins. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 6, if you will. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. When you're there, say amen. 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 There he is. My son, keep thy father's commandment, Proverbs 6:20, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a what, church? A lamp. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And let me just be honest, all husbands, look up here for a second. A strange woman is somebody that's not your wife. There should never be a time where you even, let's just keep it real. You shouldn't even be flattering about other women. You should never make comments about other women. I understand the little girls that come into church. You tell them, like I tell my daughters every Sunday morning, you sure are beautiful. And I understand that. They need to hear that. But let me tell you something. Another woman walks into church and I say, "Ma'am, you sure are beautiful." Folks, there's an issue with that. Is that true? I don't need you to tell my wife she's pretty. And if I hear you say that, we're going to have a problem. And you ought to have a problem when another man's hovering over your wife, spending more time with her than you are in the church. There's an issue there. That's not okay. Amen? He should not be comfortable around your wife like that. I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't have to worry about that, because I promise you my wife ain't going to get close to any man. Not going to happen. She's distant anyways. But I'm thankful that I don't look around and see my wife hovering with another man off in the corner talking about Lord knows what. She's not going to do that. Why? Because she's commanded to be blameless. Amen? I'm telling you, be careful. Verse number 26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned, the writer says. The answer is absolutely not. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You know what the Bible's saying? You hear people say it all the time. Oh, well, I'm okay. I can take it this far and I'll be just fine. Let me tell you something. No, you cannot. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth what, folks? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Don't ever think that you can control your flesh, because you cannot. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. If you are living into submission with the Spirit, you'll not have to worry about controlling that flesh, because God will be in control of that thing. Amen? Don't worry about it. Verse 29, so he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh what, church? Understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. And remember, what's our soul? Our mind, our emotions, and our will. So if by the way, again, I realize, Lord willing, nobody in here right now is in this sin of adultery, but do you know that adultery is very prominent in our nation? Very prominent in our nation. I mean, and think about what the Bible says. You're destroying your own soul. So my mind is being destroyed. And by the way, you know how real that is? I've counseled with men who have been in adultery, and I've sat with couples who have tried to recover and rekindle their relationship and tried to forgive each other. And I'm going to tell you something. They are some of the most confused individuals you will ever see. Because over here, they're married with their wife, with their kids, or their husband and their kids. And over here, they're living a total separate life. They're trying to please this woman. And this woman's talking to her husband saying, I'm trying to be a good wife. And all along she's meeting up with this married man. And this married man over here is trying to please his wife at night and be a dad. Folks, you know how confusing that must be? The Bible says they're destroying their own soul. You know their minds are a wreck. They're constantly looking over their shoulder waiting to get caught. And their emotions, they start lashing out at home. They start yelling and start getting real angry at their wife. And all of a sudden, she'll say things like this. Well, something's different about him. He doesn't talk to me the same that he used to. He doesn't show affection at home like he used to. He yells at our kids. He's so frustrated. Well, the Bible says that his soul is being destroyed. His mind, his emotions, and his will is going to be affected. Why? Because of adultery. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. My heart is heavy today, living in a world motivated by sensuality. There is a perverted sensual spirit in America that is after us. Please join me in the great warfare against the infidelity in marriages. Do not break your wife's heart. Don't break your husband's heart. Folks, don't break your children's heart with this demonic activity. Because, by the way, who's behind adultery? The devil is, correct? That's not God. But you know how many marriages are destroyed? And the innocent lady or the innocent man that was keeping his or her marriage covenant walks away and says, God, all I did was try to serve you, and this is how you repay me. And that's the lie that the devil's now telling the innocent one. And now the devil's, he's all about killing two birds with one stone. You know that? That's just how the devil works. Folks, if you're in this situation, or you've been in this situation, don't believe the lies of the devil. God never intended for your husband to do that. God never intended for your wife to do that. That is all the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. And again, as the home goes, so goes the church. Amen? We got to be careful. Don't destroy your children's hearts with this demonic activity. Do not let one night of pleasure nor any type of emotional attachment lead you to sensual and physical activity and in your life. It will draw you away from your spouse. Consequently, you will regret it with bitter tears and will become bitter and hard against God. And let me just take this further. When mom and dads are together, that's what God designed. Amen? He designed that. And the children are happy when they see mom and dad together. They enjoy that. They like that. But all of a sudden, when a sin like this happens and mom can't take it anymore, dad can't take it anymore, and they decide they're going to, the big D word, divorce. Now we have a home over here and a home over here. And oftentimes, dad will get remarried, mom will get remarried, and now we have two different homes. Amen? Four different parents, where it should have been one home, two parents, the husband and wife united together, becoming one flesh, is how God designed it to be. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Amen? That was God's design. And all of a sudden, you know, the child, let's just put it like this. I'm telling you this because I live this life. This was me. I'd go to my dad's home, and he was married four times the whole time I was a child. He was married four different times. And I'd go there, and no matter what, he was still my dad, but his wife at the time, whoever she might have been, always had different rules than my home that I lived in, right? And then I'd get done there for the weekend, and I'd go back into my established home with my grandma and grandpa. Thank the Lord for my grandparents. And folks, if you're a grandparent raising your children, God bless you. Raising your grandchildren, God bless you. I'm so thankful that God put them in my life. My grandpa's gone on to heaven now. My grandma's still alive. She doesn't even know my name today. But I can tell you what, I remember what she did for me. And I'm thankful for that. But then I'd go back to normalcy. And then pretty soon you'd go over here. And mom, she might have a boyfriend or another husband. And this home was completely different. And the kids are just confused. And then you go back and you wonder why, as parents, you start calling each other, say, why do you let them do this? Why do you let them do this? I have this rule. I have this rule. Hey, folks, that's not their fault that you chose to make that mistake. Amen? That's what this happens all the time. And then I get phone calls from children or teenagers. I can't tell you the amount of teenage phone calls that I've gotten over the years saying, Brother Drew, I don't know what to do. I go to my dad's, and it's just a mess. He's constantly talking bad about my mom. Then I go to my mom's, and she's constantly talking bad about my dad. I can't do the things that I do at my mom's and my dad's, and my mom won't let me do that. My dad lets me do this. I don't know who to trust. I said, man, I'm so sorry. You're living a life that God did not design for you to live. And it's not your fault. It's the devil. But can I say this, folks? There's still a God in heaven who's still aware. He's still alert. He says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Those children, guess what? That's why church is so important. When kids darken our doors, that's why I love it when young people come to our church and they aren't set in their ways yet, Brother Scott. You know, and we get an opportunity to send them to junior church, and they hear about Jesus, and many of them will get saved. They'll get baptized. They'll grow up in our church. And did you know that we might be the only chance those children have for anything? We don't know what those homes are like. I can tell you this, if they were like they should be, mom and dad would be here with them. Amen? I'm thankful for people like Miss Judy who makes phone calls and begs those young ladies to come to church. You know, your account's growing in heaven. You know, four young ladies are going to be baptized this week. Not, I mean, yes, because of your willingness, but because there's a God in heaven who cared about those young ladies' souls. And there was a woman in church that came and saw the vision. Folks, imagine if we all caught that vision. If we each one reached one, where would our church be this time next year? Folks, God cares about souls. He cares about those little children who are living in constant confusion. He really does. The next sensual or sexual sin, again, and I'll be honest, I have, this next one is very, very gross, very vile, but very real. And if you've ever studied any kind of, how many are interested in, anybody ever listen to like documentaries of serial killers or anything like that? Yeah, a couple people. Look, I don't know why, but there's something about the mind of these people that interests me a little bit. I wonder how they got there is what I'm trying to, is what gets me. When I learned about spiritual warfare, it all started making sense to me. But it never, oftentimes, it doesn't start with sexual sins of individuals. You guys see where I'm going with this? Now look, again, open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter number 18. This is very, very interesting here that God would have to put this in here. Something that we never thought, you know, Lord willing, you've never been like this and a part of this, but as prominent as it was back then, I've dealt in this 21st century, in my last 10 or 12 years, I've probably dealt with three different situations where young men have been guilty of this particular thing that we're about to talk about. There is a sin of sexual activity with an animal. Look at Leviticus chapter number 18. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with what? Womankind. It is an abomination." So the next time the world tells you that homosexual activity is okay, take them to Leviticus chapter number 18 and look at verse number 22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as thou lie with what? Womankind. It is what? Abomination." Verse 23. "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile himself or thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is what, church? Confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." Please do not think that this does not go on today. Folks, it is very real. Some of you looking at me like, really, that goes on? Yes, I've dealt firsthand. I've sat face to face with young men who have done this stuff. I've sat face to face with young men whose families have had to get rid of their pets because of an overwhelming sexual desire in a young person. And by the way, it starts right here in the mind, right? Because where does the devil attack? The mind first, right? And then it affects what? His emotions and ultimately his what? His will. We're almost done. I want to finish this section tonight, just a little bit longer. "I've dealt with people who have done these types of things and have seen them weep with condemnation, levels of guilt, and very destructive suicidal tendencies from this unnatural activity. But can I say this? There's freedom for these people also." How about this one? We're going to unplug. We'll go here next week because this next one I really want to hit on, and I don't. Well, 2 weeks we'll be back in here, I think. We'll come back to this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to open up your word tonight. And Lord, many, many, Lord, difficult situations to talk about and difficult things, Lord, that, Lord, we know the devil is behind a lot of awful stuff. In fact, he's behind all the awful things and sins of this world. But Lord, may our people understand tonight, our men, our women, our husbands, our wives, our sons and our daughters, Lord, may we understand that the sensual sexual sins of this world, Lord, are not of God. And Lord, the result of sin is hurt. We know hurt people hurt people. God, I thank you so much, Lord, that we don't have to be in bondage to this, though. I thank you so much, Lord, that you have freed many, many people from this. And Lord, I pray, God, if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here tonight that is caught up in this activity, in any of these, Lord, may they know, God, that there is a way. I'm so thankful that you made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, Lord, you didn't have to, but you chose to. And I'm so thankful that Jesus did not have to die, but he chose to die. I'm thankful he submitted his will to the Father. Lord, may we as Christians submit our will to the Father. And may we learn to live in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, I thank you so much for the ones who came out tonight. Bless them. Lord, let them not get sick in this rain. Protect our people, Lord. Bring them back with us on Sunday, Lord. Most of all, Lord, please be with those families of these young ladies and this young man that are going to be baptized this week. Lord, it may be the first time any of them have ever stepped in a church. I don't know. But Lord, I sure know this. If they come on Sunday, Lord willing, they'll hear the gospel. And Lord, I thank you for Thanksgiving that's coming up. Lord, may we wake up tomorrow and find something to be thankful for. Lord, we sure are grateful that we have a God like you. Bless us now, Lord, as we go about our week. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.